Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. It depends upon what time you're listening to the program, but we will say this, Good Friday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, as we come to you on this Black Friday. Black Friday all across America. Black Friday. Sam, I've got a question for you. Is your Friday black where you are?
Gary, it is not a Black Friday from that sense of the word. This is a very good Friday and a very sunny Friday. And I don't know if any of my family, frankly, are even out there in these supposed throngs of people, some of whom are not able to control themselves by what we're hearing from the news across the country. So, no, we're not a part of that, Gary.
I guess if you want to be safe, you better stay home today from what we're hearing.
According to what some, I mean, in some of these malls, a mall in Kentucky, there's some other areas around where people have just out of control. Mothers, some of these reports are, you read them, you can't believe it, that an adult mom would fight with a child because the child had something that she wanted, and these kinds of nonsense, which Gary, is the question, have we gotten to a point where where so many are so more concerned about getting that bargain that they are willing, evidently, to put aside moral constraint and the niceties of just treating their neighbors and friends like they would like to be treated. I mean, this kind of stuff. I don't know how long it's gone on. I think it has for a while, but this is not a real great thing as far as I'm concerned. What do you think about it?
Well, you begin to wonder what happened to the golden rule when it comes to Black Friday. Do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. I mean, like you say, there's so much that goes on out there. And they're expecting, Sam, some 136 million shoppers over this weekend, including not only that, the shoppers who will go into the stores, but also the cyber shoppers. And that's a lot of people out there doing a lot of shopping. And I was just thinking about it, I guess it was earlier this morning, on what this says about the American people. And I suppose there's a number of commentaries you could make on it. But I think that, first of all, it says that the American people are greedy. I mean, when you're talking about the fact of parents fighting with their children and others over various gifts and various items, I mean, that's nothing but pure greed. Tempers will be rising all across the country due to not being able to get in line to buy the particular item that an individual might want. A lot of people on this day, it's called Black Friday, I guess, or at least the phrase Black Friday is used by those who are in business because of the fact that they can make a lot of money, a lot of profit on this day, and they can write down a lot of black ink. But there will be a lot of individuals, Sam, who will be going into debt. They'll be putting what they purchase on their credit card or cards that they will be paying off for who knows how long. There will be a lot of impulse buying. And, it just goes on and on and on. And I think the other thing from the commercial side of it, you have got a lot of enticement going on because, there are a lot of stores and companies out there who will do all sorts of things to entice the people to come in and buy their product. And one of the things I learned on one of the reports this morning, Sam, is very concerning, and that is that there are certain companies out there that will make certain items, like certain electronic items, but will not put all the components into that particular item. So the people will come and purchase that item and then take the item home, and it won't work the way that it should work. But these companies are doing these and building these defective items just to get the people to purchase their money. I mean, there's all sorts of things we could say about this particular day that I guess on one hand you can say from the side of capitalism it's pretty good, but on the side of some of the attitudes that people have, it's not so good, Sam.
Well, I mean, I think that's correct, you know, and there's, you know, in every case, there is a moral component or moral thread that runs through everything, both in advertising. There's a moral component, as you say, if you can lie and you can deceive on advertising. In most cases, states and even states have laws in place that prohibit that kind of thing. But even in the way people go about, as you say, beating up on their neighbor, that kind of thing, because they want to prog somebody gets there first. In every, you can't escape the fact, Gary, that there is a moral thread that runs through all things, whether we talk about public policy, what's happening overseas, what's happening in the area of taxation or economic policy. Every one of these has a moral thread. And in this country, we've been blessed of God because the foundational laws that have been in place have been based on biblical principles, which recognizes honesty, integrity, truthfulness, and truth in advertising. Where'd that come from? You know what I mean? All of these things that have been matters of law have come from there. But as we throw these things out the window, along with it goes truthfulness, purpose, higher purpose. Along with it goes restraint. And discipline. And we can't survive as a nation. No nation can survive if people put these kinds of things aside. There is a heavy cost to our leadership in Washington and these ungodly groups who try to sever the Bible from the public or God from government. There are heavy prices to be paid. And these kinds of things that we're talking about here today takes the blessing of God, wealth, and freedom, which is the blessing of God, and turns them completely around when we leave out God. You just can't sustain freedom or liberty, Gary, without a conscious recognition that God is in control. We throw him out, it just never works out right.
In every aspect of life.
In every aspect of life.
When you throw God out, things are not going to work. And, you know, it's interesting to understand a little bit about the history of Black Friday. For a long time, I heard the rumor that it got its name because of slave owners and slave traders back in the mid-1800s would use the day after Thanksgiving to sell their slaves. But I understand that that's not correct. That's just a rumor. It's a falsehood. The earliest time, as I understand it, that the phrase Black Friday was used was in 1951 when workers called off after Thanksgiving so that they could have a long weekend. You know, they called in sick so that they could have a longer weekend. Then, Sam, in your neck of the woods, in 1961, the police department of Philadelphia used the phrase to describe the mayhem that was taking place because of all the heavy traffic around Philadelphia. Did you know that? It came from your neck of the woods, brother.
Well, and, you know, I didn't know that, but a lot of things have started in Philadelphia, you know, but it appears that what you're saying, yeah, that it has more to do with getting a profitable bottom line, not these other things, certainly.
Well, in 1981, that was the first time that it was used to refer to an accounting process, you know, where these stores and these companies reaped a great profit, so... Black Friday, as we know it, goes back to about 1981. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there, be careful. Don't get in fights with your husbands or your children or your wives over some comb or toothbrush or something like that. We'll be back with more Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
During World War I, Britain was at a great disadvantage in manufacturing explosives until there was a breakthrough in synthesizing acetone made by Jewish chemist Dr. Chaim Weizmann, who was born this day, November 27, 1874. The British were so grateful that they issued the Balfour Declaration establishing a national home for the Jewish people. Dr. Weizmann received the support of President Harry S. Truman, who wrote, "I want to tell you how happy and impressed I have been at the remarkable progress made by the new state of Israel." Dr. Weizmann wrote, "I think that the God of Israel is with us."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. Along with Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dull, and of course, we could say, I suppose, Dave Kistler is on assignment today. That's what we usually say about you, Sam, but now we're we've got Dave out there on an assignment today. So, and no, he's not recovering from his turkey dinner. He's got something special he's got to take care of. So, pray for Brother Dave as he is out doing the things that he needs to do. Of course, we still are in the Thanksgiving weekend, as it were. And Sam, you know, yesterday Barack Obama gave his Thanksgiving message to the United States of America. And in doing so, he compared the Syrian refugees to the first pilgrims who journeyed to America to seek a better life. And, you know, It bothers me to the point that I'm not I need to be very, very careful about what I'm saying here, to be honest with you. Obama noted that in his particular speech that America's greatness, quote, comes from our generosity. And he, of course, was talking about these refugees that were coming into the United States of America. And this is what he said, and I quote, "Nearly four centuries after the Mayflower set sail, the world is still full of pilgrims, men and women who want nothing more than the chance for a safer, better future for themselves and their families." And then he said, "What makes America America is that we offer that chance." Now, Sam, I have no idea how far he had to stretch to compare these Syrian refugees to the pilgrims that came over here to the United States of America, or what became the United States of America, came to the New World back in 1620. This is ludicrous.
Gary, I think it is, and I think it's one of those, again, a marks of, unfortunately, this president who selectively looks back into our history and draws incomplete or inaccurate conclusions. And what I mean by saying that is this. Talking about the pilgrims on Thanksgiving Day is, of course, very, very appropriate. But the problem was that you cannot disassociate the pilgrims with the reason that they came. Did they come for a better life, a better future, as he talks about it? Well, the answer is they did. Yes, that is correct. But the primary reason that they came, and they made it very clear, the pilgrims came to evangelize this nation, these Indians that were here. They came to evangelize them. They were Christian missionaries. And secondly, they were concerned about the immoral culture that was affecting their children. Believe it or not, back at that point, when they were in Holland, after they had left England, because they were disagreeing with the Church of England, and they were forced to leave, and they went to Holland. But even there in Holland, they said the culture was so decadent that they were losing their children. And so this new world offered an opportunity for them to come where they could raise up their children in the fear, in the admonition of the Lord, and so that they could be missionaries. That's what the statement was. And that's why when they came, the Mayflower Complex had started with the "to the glory of God, amen." That's why they were here. You cannot talk accurately about the pilgrims or why they came without the reason they came. And that is their direct relationship to God, to Jesus Christ, to the raising of their children according to the Bible. And of course, I'm looking at the same comments that probably you are relative to what the president said. The president said nothing about God, about graciousness or gratefulness or thankfulness to what God did or the purpose for which they came. To use it and to draw a comparison to the Syrian refugees is false. It's a deception, and it's a complete denial of the involvement that God has played in this nation. That's the problem that I have, and I think it's a problem you have too. But for the leader of our nation to stand at this point and not draw attention to the blessings of God on this nation is, in fact, to me, a continued demonstration of arrogance and pride. In an attempt to move people toward a political agenda, meaning the Syrian refugees. It really bothers me too, Gary. I think it's so inappropriate.
Well, when I first heard about it, I thought that is unbelievable. Somebody has something wrong. And then I began to study it a little bit and to research it, and that's exactly what he said, and that's exactly what he's doing. And he's making a comparison that really cannot be compared. I mean, it's the difference between what – well, there's just no comparison as far as I'm concerned. And of course, in his speech yesterday, he also, basically was trying to highlight the nature of some good-hearted Americans, according to him now, who were willing to do whatever they could to even make these refugees – feel at home. As a matter of fact, if you recall his speech yesterday, he said, and I quote, one woman from Pennsylvania, That's where we are, Sam. One woman from Pennsylvania wrote to me to say, quote, money is tight for us, but I have a guest room. I have a pantry full of food. We can do this, end quote. That's what Obama said in his speech yesterday. And my thought about that is that, well, maybe that's our governor Tom Wolf's wife saying that. I don't know, because he's in favor of these refugees. Or maybe he just made it up. I'm guessing to think he just made it up. But here's my point that I want to make here. We have good people in the United States of America, good Christian people in the United States of America, Sam, who, because of the fact that they don't understand why the pilgrims came here, would perhaps go along with this comparison that Barack Obama is making. Don't you think that's a pretty good possibility?
Well, no, Gary, yes, the answer is yes, because we know that. We know that to be case, to the truth, and that there are many pastors. And again, there are pastors out there from churches who support abortion. Mm. And they support homosexual marriage, and they support all kinds of things. And of course, we stand and counter that and say, no, that's not biblical pastors. Those are not pastors that are preaching the Word of God. But there are some out there who believe that this kind of a demonstration, regardless of who the people is, I mean, even to the point of we've had some that say, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Bring in all of them. Why should we fear someone who says that they're going to, you know, kill us? We don't live with an attitude of fear. And you think about that statement, you think, well, there's a part of it that's true, but isn't there a common sense factor? There's an amazing, an amazing thought process out there that allows common sense or to be put aside and to take portions of Scripture, talking about helping the poor, and completely overriding the part of it that says that that we are, in fact, to be responsible to protect our family and our children. That is an obligation that God gives us, and somehow totally putting one to the side. But you can't do that. Scripture has to be taken in balance. But, yeah, I mean, we have seen it even from some in the pulpit.
Well, and you know, you love the Lord. You have a wife that loves the Lord. You have children that love the Lord. If you had an extra room, would you invite a Syrian refugee into your house this afternoon?
Gary, absolutely I would not. And as a family, we've made a determination before. We could have taken in an individual before into our family, a teenager, troubled individual. But because our children were young and because things were – we chose not to because not that somebody didn't need to do it, but it wouldn't have been appropriate for us with our children to have had a troubled youth unproven in our house showing, demonstrating, and doing things to our children. I have an obligation to raise up my mm-hmm. children. So I wouldn't have done that, and that wouldn't have been what God wanted to do. So, to just ignore these things, Gary, is to ignore basic duties sometimes and responsibilities.
And the reason why God would not have wanted you to do that is because you are the head of your household. You are the governing body of your home, your household, your family, and your number one responsibility is to protect them. And that's why you made the choice that you did. And there are many people that don't understand that. Now, Sam, you wrote an article on this whole idea of the stranger and the as it relates to immigration and refugees and so forth. Tell people how they might be able to read that article.
They can go to the American Pastors Network website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net website. And on the top there where you can do the search, just put in on that search panel – either one of these words. You can put down the sixth judgment, sixth as in 5, 6, 7, the sixth judgment, or the sixth prayer. Either one of those can bring up the article, and we can talk about that perhaps more later, on what God actually told Israel about the responsibility to the sojourner and the foreigner in their land.
And I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to get that article and read it. It is very, very applicable to where we are in the present situation in America. We're going to take about a 3-minute break, and then we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Stay tuned.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Protest in Chicago over the shooting death of a black teen by a white officer.
Everything is bogus out here. They killed that little boy.
Demonstrators rallying the city's retail district, which typically fills with Black Friday shoppers. Belgian prosecutor's office says a man arrested in Brussels has been charged with terrorist acts. This is France remembers victims of the attacks 2 weeks ago today.
2,500 people gathering in Paris, including some of those injured in the attacks. President François Hollande,
pour détruire l'armée des fanatiques qui ont commis ces crimes,
saying France will do everything to destroy what he called the army of fanatics responsible.
Fox Radio Simon Owen. German prosecutors, meanwhile, confirmed they're investigating whether a man they have in custody may have sold four of the assault rifles used in the Paris attacks. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There's pending legislation in Harrisburg that threatens religious liberty, putting at risk Christian schools, faith-based ministries, and even Christian-run businesses. The proposal is called the Fairness Act, but in truth what it would do is equate the biblical view of human sexuality, specifically in the area of marriage, as the same as racial bigotry. Christian schools would be severely restricted in hiring decisions and policies, and no longer be free to make those decisions based on scriptural perspectives on marriage. Professional licenses would be denied to people who refuse to agree that the union of two men or two women is the same as marriage between a man and a woman. School locker rooms and public restrooms will be forced to open to people of the opposite sex who identify otherwise. Bottom line, the bills are dangerous to religious liberty and tolerance. Take action by finding out more at our website at pafamily.org and going to our Citizen Action Center.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. And along with Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and I want to thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company and encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is simply www.standinthegapradio.com, because there you can correspond with us, and we would appreciate it if you would do that. And then secondly, there is a link there to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. So if you travel across the country and get out of the signal of your local radio station, you can pick us up on the computer if you have one. Sam, I don't want to bury this discussion on the refugees and the immigrants' right yet, because I would like for you to make a comment on one of the statements you have in your article on immigration. And, of course, you call the It's interesting. You call your article The Abuse of Immigrants, and that's a very, very interesting article. And, folks, I would encourage you to get it and to read it. But here's something that you say, Sam, and I'm wondering if you could make a comment on it. You say, from the beginning of our nation, we've welcomed the poor and downtrodden from all over the world who've come with the intent to work hard and assume the duties of a citizen. But now, rather than duty or biblical justice being the guide, immigration policy is based on political leverage and political advantage. And then, of course, you go on with some more on that. Explain what you mean by that, where you say, but now, rather than duty or biblical justice being made, immigration policy is based on political leverage and political advantage. Elaborate on that for us a little bit, if you would, please, Brother Sam.
Well, I will, Gary. In reality, I think anyone who's listening understands that the entire immigration issue that is of such a debate across the country, and it's not, and it didn't just start with the president's plea for an additional 10,000 Syrians. Now, that 10,000 Syrian refugees is on top of the 100,000 there are more they're bringing in already per year. So, this, you know, it's
that we know of. That we know of.
That's correct. And we're already, you know, I mean, they're flooding across the borders. The last month was the biggest flooding across the borders. 150,000, I think the numbers I'm looking right here, came across southern border. So this is an issue. We understand it to be the case. The reason I said this is a political issue is because it comes down to, oftentimes, Republican, Democrat. That's a political thing. But it has come down to more than that. From the standpoint of why do we want these immigrants? Well, if we know, a person understands, who has been really, really pushing, at least it's stated that they are the primary pushers for an open border policy, it has in fact been the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce wants cheap labor. So for them, it's an economic reason. We want cheap labor here, so keep your doors open. On the other hand, that's a political thing. On the other hand, you've got a George Soros that sits over there and is spending billions of dollars all around the world trying to eliminate borders of sovereign nations. His goal is a new world order, a one world government. And so he wants to, and he's supporting the concept of letting the borders of all nations being flooded and bring in people of all type, mix them all up so that you no longer have a nation as a nation made up of a commonality of people, of worship and of language and of geography, but undo that, which then leads to, rather than a sovereign perspective, you lead to the idea that a world government is what's there. So, but that, again, that is a political strategy. But in every one of these cases, none of these things have at the heart of them the whole original concept for which, go back to what the president said, the pilgrims coming. And those who came early on in our country, primarily even to Pennsylvania here, religious freedom, those who are coming for freedom of worship, these things which involved come and learn our language, come and be United States citizen, come work hard, and you will have the benefit of being able to be rewarded for your work. These things that have comprised the open arm policy of the United States in the past have been subverted so now that bringing in refugees or immigrants is either to help a special interest, Chamber of Commerce perhaps, or, as this president has stated, to come in and actually mix up the voting process so that you actually are bringing in people who are dependent upon government and are going to be more favorable to vote for candidates who offer government programs rather than rewarding people when they come in. The fact that if you work hard, you shall be rewarded. These are political things, and these are what I term abuse of immigrants that I believe that God is very unhappy with. He was with Israel, and I believe he's unhappy with us because of the same things. That's the political component that completely has overridden the concern for the actual individual or our nation.
That's a very good explanation, Sam. And, you know, folks, you need to understand that when you read in the Scripture, you go back into the Old Testament where it talks about the stranger the Bible has a lot to say about that, by the way, in the Pentateuch and other places as well. But when a stranger came into Israel, that stranger was to come into Israel to comply with the rules and the regulations that God himself had set down for the nation of Israel, even to the point to worship him and to go to the temple and pray unto him. And what we get from that, Sam, is the idea that when an immigrant comes into the United States of America, they come into this nation not to try to change it, not to try to disrupt it, not to try to destroy it, but rather to submit to the policies, the principles, the culture, the rules, and the regulations of our nation. And that's not being done today with a lot of this that's taking place with these refugees and otherwise.
No, Gary, it's exactly correct. And as 2 Chronicles 6:32 and 33 talks about, God says, moreover, concerning the stranger, the immigrant, which is not of thy people Israel, so it's somebody who's come from the outside, come from a far country, it says, for thy great namesake. The person has come because of an identification with or a desire to know more about here God, Jehovah God, because they've seen his mighty hand. They've seen what God has done for this country there, Israel, or our country now. They've seen what God has done. They've seen the blessings that have been about. They've seen in their own country they've not had those blessings. And they look and they say, we want to come here. We want to identify with all that makes this nation great. We want to identify with the God of this nation. Of course, up until not all that long ago, it was very clear that in God we trust. It's on our coins. It was throughout our educational system. But as we have sought, Gary, and I think that you could track this, as we have sought to eliminate God from our nation and God from government, throw God out of schools, throw prayer out of schools, throw the Ten Commandments out of schools, if you begin to track these things where we began as a nation to turn our back on God, you will see a very close proximity to the undermining of the whole concept of immigration and why people are coming. And now it is so far out where we're bringing in people who don't have any affinity to Jehovah God or the Bible or Christianity or the absolute moral absolute truth, but they are just the opposite. So when the president brings in immigrants that are Muslim, Islamic immigrants who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who repudiate the Bible, who absolutely oppose our Constitution and embrace Sharia law, when he brings these people in, they are not at all even close to the stranger that Israel was talking, that God was talking about here. And in fact, they're not being brought in because we want to introduce them to God. They're being brought in so that they can further undercut God in our laws in our country. And this has to be borne in mind. This is a part of the discussion here, I think, and that's a far greater concern to me, that immigrants come in and we turn them away from God. We turn them to something else, or turn them to the God of government, not to our God. God looks down at that and says, I've blessed you. People come, but you turn them away from me. You turn them to something else. And God brought judgment on Israel for that. I believe that that's part of what we're seeing here in America.
And you know, Sam, there is a prophetic component to this, because as we read through the scripture, we find that in the last days there's going to be a one world government and one world religion, and immigration as we know it today here in the United States of America is contributing to both, you know?
Well, it is, and when we know the commitment of the one world government of our president and all that he has said, these things that he is doing here and things that he's causing to happen in the Middle East with the rearrangement of the powers and our friends becoming our enemies and our enemies becoming all of these things to divide and make into upheaval all contribute towards a climate towards someone is able to stand up and say, it's obvious that the world can't function the way it is. We need new leadership and we need a world government, which is exactly what they've been talking about. And yes, you can't separate these, Gary. I really think they go together.
Well, we're seeing prophecy come into fruition all around us, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep your eyes open. And as we so often say, the next thing that we can expect on God's prophetic time clock is the rapture. We are rapidly drawing closer to that. Well, we have one more segment for you today on Stand in the Gap. We're going to take about a four-minute break, and then we will be back with more discussion right after this. So don't go away. We've got more to come.
you have a 401k and are unsure what to do with it? Are your retirement savings actively managed? Hi, this is Mark Magruder, an enrolled agent, tax advisor, and wealth manager at the Life Financial Group, a wealth management firm specializing in helping successful Christian families make wise financial decisions so they can better provide for their families, plan for retirement, and fund kingdom ministries. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required of stewards that they be found faithful." If you'd like to work with someone of like faith in the areas of taxes, investments, insurance, retirement, or discuss Social Security and estate planning, give me a call to set up a comprehensive financial review at no cost to you. Call me today, 1-800-688-5800. That's 800-688-5800. Or visit us online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
This week we celebrate Thanksgiving, a wonderful time to be with family and friends. But in the midst of family, don't forget the essence of Thanksgiving. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In the Old Testament, God often referred to the giving of thanks accompanied by willing sacrifice. Psalm 50 says giving thanks equates to paying our vows to God. Thanksgiving is literally a time of giving back to God what we owe Him, our praise and thanks for His goodness and mercy. Even in the midst of trouble and war, we should be grateful for all who God is. We can replace pride with humility and self-sufficiency with dependency on Him. We urge fathers to lead their families in looking to God, not government, and to look up and sacrifice, not around in covetousness. It may help to remember that the first Pilgrim Thanksgiving was marked not with feasting, but fasting. They had it right. I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network, urging all of us to give God what we owe Him this Thanksgiving, our praise.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our program. And, we want to talk a little bit about ISIS here. It's been reported just within the last 24 hours, I suppose, that the FBI is using elite surveillance teams to track at least 48 high-risk suspects. And they are doing this by way of their elite tracking squads known as the Mobile Surveillance Teams, or MSTs. And, of course, these MSTs are tracking these 48 high-risk suspects of ISIS in the United States of America even as we speak. Senator Dan Coats said, and I quote, "There is a very significant number of people that are on suspicious watch lists and under surveillance." And, of course, obviously, I would agree with that based upon this report that we have before us. Well, the MSTs are elite FBI teams and reserved for espionage, mob violence, and high-priority terrorism cases. And the way that it works is that at least one dozen FBI agents are assigned to each suspect or case, providing 24/7 coverage, which seems to reveal the severe risk of those who are most likely desiring to attempt copycat attacks, as took place in Paris actually 2 weeks ago today. In light of that, Sam, over the past week, I was talking to a fellow who is active in the United States military. He's actually in the Army, and he said this, and I quote, "If we were allowed to do so, we would be able to wipe out ISIS in 2 months." And then he went on to say, "Our military wants to fight ISIS, but we are being held back." I've got a couple of questions I want to ask you, Sam. First of all, going back to these MSTs that is a part of the FBI surveillance teams, I'm glad that they are out there doing their work. But do you think, in light of what we know that's going on in the world, in light of what took place over in Paris 2 weeks ago, do you think we can really have confidence in these MST teams to do their job and to keep down terrorism in the United States today? And then the second question to follow up on that is, why is the American military being held back from fighting ISIS, according to this individual that I was speaking with, who is currently actively involved in the United States Army?
Well, Gary, I mean, there's two different questions, obviously, you've asked there. One, can the FBI successfully keep us safe? They can go a long way, to doing that. Law enforcement, we've had local law enforcement. We've had an FBI for a long time. We've had a CIA for a long time. All of these, we've had a military for a long time. At the end of the day, does having a military prevent wars? Well, obviously, no. You have militaries for if and when the time for war comes. But do they prohibit and prevent war? No, they don't. As long as there is a sinful heart of mankind and a culture that throws God out, it will be increasingly difficult to prevent any aspect of a violation of a person's property or body. And that's why, Gary, at the first part of this country, it was very clear that this whole experiment in self-government was dependent upon people governing their own actions according to the Ten Commandments of God, where they look and they say, wait a minute, I'm not going to fight with that person here on Good Friday. I'm not going to steal something from a child. I'm not going to go over and burn a house down or destroy a property belonging to somebody else. I'm not going to riot, which is what they're talking about in Chicago right now because of this ruling on this police officer shooting this individual. All of these things, if you throw out personal restraint according to the Ten Commandments because I have a respect for this other neighbor, this other person, if you throw that out, Gary, it will not be possible to prevent all aspects of violence. And that's what makes these days in which we live more and more difficult. I mean, in reality, our national leaders ought to be saying we need to look more to God. The president yesterday should have acknowledged that safety in this country in the past has been because God has blessed us. But he didn't even go close to that. And when they talk about we need more surveillance, we need more police, We need more sharpshooters up on the building tops like they had yesterday watching the parade in New York. When they have when the answer is more military, more guns, more government, more surveillance, Gary, this actually really truly works against true freedom, because you cannot manage and watch every person who's not governing himself according to God's word. So I'm glad that they're doing this, but it's fighting a losing battle overall until we address the fundamental nature of the sinfulness of man's heart.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. It just goes back to the total depravity of mankind. But, you know, along that same line, this other question that I have is, why is the American military being held back from fighting ISIS according to this individual? Now, this individual that I was talking to is in the military. He spent a year, Sam, over in around that whole area, Kuwait and Iraq and so forth and so on. Came home very, very frustrated because they weren't allowed to do what they've trained to do. He basically said to me, he said, you know, in 2 months, if we were allowed to, we could go into that area over there and destroy ISIS as we know them. Now, I realize there's an ideology out there that is something else to take into consideration. But this army individual is very, very frustrated because, in his words, we are being held back from fighting ISIS, and that's what we were trained to do. That's pretty serious.
Well, Gary, it is. But again, just as we were talking about the immigration policy becoming run by seeking political advantage, the military has been converted to a political strategy for this administration. Because once you throw out the Constitution and the purpose for and what we're trying and what it's all about, and you throw out God, you end up having these things as tools for some other agenda. That's what our military people are experiencing. So when this president says, all right, here's this big line, which we've all seen, this big line of jeeps and tanker trucks over there that should have been bombed and could have been bombed, the president ordered, don't go and drop leaflets out of it and tell everybody to get out. We're going to come in 30 minutes to leave. And so they wipe out a few of them, but they save all these people's lives who then crawl back into another truck and then go into trouble. I mean, you don't fight a war like that. And Gary, that's the problem. Unless when you move away from moral absolute, you end up becoming political. And at that point, you can't win. You can't succeed.
We need to get back to God. We need to get back to the God of the Bible. And the Ten Commandments is a good guide. On January the 7th, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, our church, Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, will be giving the Ten Commandment bookmarkers to every student of the Altoona School District. We'll talk more about that later on. So we do try to make a difference for Christ in every way possible. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday on Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.